A woman stood before a boiling kettle, spooning instant coffee into an array of mugs. Her legs were encased in dark jeans and what appeared to be compulsory issue Wellington boots. Her tawny hair was pulled back in a functional ponytail that rested on the back of a college emblazoned sweatshirt. "This is Catherine Evans, entomologist. She's our resident maggot lady." The woman turned her head, smiled and nodded. The smile was neither warm nor welcoming. It was functional and reminded Kim of a toddler being told to smile for a tolerated aunt. She couldn't help but feel that Catherine Evans had heard that introduction 100 times already and briefly wondered how the woman felt about her extensive journey of education and study being reduced to a description of maggot lady. Professor Wright stopped and turned, clasping his hands before him. "We have a couple of consultants roaming the site at the moment, but they are currently observing Ant and Dex, so will not interfere." "Excuse me?" Kim said, perplexed. He smiled. "I will explain," he said, leading them outside. He closed the door behind him and began walking slowly, heading east. "Officially, we are categorised as a research facility specialising in forensic anthropology and related disciplines," said the professor, "more commonly known as a body farm."
"Isn't there one in America?"
Dawson asked. "There are actually 6 in America. The largest belongs to Texas State University and covers an area of 7 acres. Dawson frowned and shook his head.
"No, that's not the..."
"You'll be thinking of the original body farm in Knoxville, Tennessee, founded by Dr. William Bass in 81 and made famous by the author Patricia Cornwell. Westerly is much smaller than the 2.5 acres of the Texas facility, but is used in the training of law enforcement in scene of crime skills and techniques. I visited the place some years ago and modelled Westerly on many of their ideas and theories."
"So how much land do you have?"
Dawson asked.
Professor Wright nodded forwards. "As far as the eye can see and a little bit beyond the south border."
Kim followed his gaze. The area he'd indicated totaled 7 or 8 football pitches, and although the ground undulated in places, it was a downhill slope from the porter cabin. He pointed to the west. "Those trees mark the barrier to Staffordshire. The entire south is blocked by hedgerow beyond the oak trees, and to the east is a brook that separates us from our closest neighbours."
"And how do they feel?" Dawson asked.
He smiled. "We don't place a weekly advertisement, but our closest neighbour is a food packaging factory. It's a 0.5 mile in any direction to the nearest resident."
Dawson seemed satisfied. "How many bodies do you have?" Bryant asked.
"Currently 7.
"Where do you get them from?"
Stacey asked.
"Donations from family members, a person's own wishes, as stated in a will."
"Hang on, Professor," Bryant interrupted.
"You're telling me that family members actually donate their loved ones to this research?"
Professor Wright hesitated.
"Donations to medical research rarely state the nature of the research. Few family members would wish to know the details, but they are content to know that the death of a loved one may be of scientific benefit. And of course it is."
Kim stepped in.
"And some people will themselves here."
"Not necessarily to this exact location, but to the benefit of research. Texas State has some 100 bodies donated each year, and over 1,300 people have registered to be donated there specifically upon their demise."
"It has a waiting list?"
Kim asked incredulously.